Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
This year, it seems like China is making headlines for all the wrong reasons. Of course, nations like the US, they blame China for the COVID-19 outbreak. That, of course, was the place where the virus first originated from. Last week, China imposed a sweeping national security law in Hong Kong. That, of course, has drawn huge international criticism. Then you've got tensions that appear to be rising between Britain and China. China's ambassador to the UK says Britain's offer of a path to citizenship for up to 3 million Hong Kongers in response to that security law amounted to gross interference. And he added that if the UK government decides to ban China's tech giant Huawei, it would damage Chinese trust in the UK. And now it seems like China is trying to take matters into its own hands. They are planning tighter controls to counter social unrest within the country. We've got a couple of things to talk about, and helping me out this morning is Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. A very good morning to all of you.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, sir. Starting off with those tighter controls to counter social unrest. This, of course, stemming from the government's response to the COVID-19 outbreak, a number of rising international tensions as well. Could you walk us through this special working group that was formed? I mean, what kind of powers does it have? How can it maintain social order in that sense?
Well, it's specific. The powers are still rather sketchy. But this actually goes back to April, at least 3 months ago, when the Communist Party of China, they actually set up a party task force to so-called diffuse social unrest caused by the pandemics and so on. So under this task force, which is headed by one of its Politburo members, a very powerful group, it has several working groups. So we just learned that among these working groups, there will be one on so-called political security,
right,
with the task of protecting the safety of the political system, the safety of the regime, and so on. And it says it would take strict precautions and crackdowns on activities such as infiltration, subversion, terrorism, succession, and extreme religious activities, and so on. So it sounds a bit like the Hong Kong security law type of language, but this is, of course, applicable to the whole of China. Yeah.
Very interesting there. There's another situation. You've got these tensions between the UK and China, and like you mentioned, that security bill that earlier on. So that has kind of led to a possible ban on Huawei. What kind of consequences are we talking about? Because, you know, Britain could change the course on Huawei, or, you know, even that situation where they're offering citizenship to Hong Kongers. What kind of consequence could we see from China here?
Well, typically, this sort of conflicts among nations, confrontation among nations, you would have the diplomatic front and the economic front. Diplomatic front, there could be, for example, some sort of temporary downgrading of the diplomatic relations, recalling ambassador, chasing away your ambassador and so on, for example. I mean,
right,
if it does go to that extreme. On the economic front, of course, China is now one of the major investors in the United Kingdom. There's several quite prominent projects, one of which I think is even some sort of nuclear power plant. So, well, if England or the United Kingdom is blocking Huawei, for example, similarly, China could so-called pull the plugs on its investment, some of which perhaps are quite important to the UK economy. Yeah.
You know, Dr. Oh, these protests in Hong Kong have happened for a little bit over a year now. We kind of forgotten the origin issue. But that is due to this extradition law, right? That was sort of presented or proposed. You don't just have, you know, UK raising concerns over the Hong Kong bill. You've got this international coalition of lawmakers. They've called on Western countries to stop extradition to Hong Kong in response to China's law on that city. What countries or which countries are represented in this inter-parliamentary alliance on China? I mean, what kind of relationship or how does is the relationship affected with China?
Well, this so-called inter-parliamentary alliance, particularly on China, is somewhat confrontational towards China, of course, as some of its goals, the so-called safeguarding of international rules-based framework. upholding human rights, you know, like promoting trade fairness, promoting security, and then so on, which are issues that China deemed to be rather sensitive and so on. And at least on its website, it has participation of members of parliaments or Congress and so on from at least 17 countries,
okay.
Most of which are, of course, the traditional Western European countries, but it also includes Japan, for example, Uganda, and so on, in addition to all these U.S., Canada, Germany, Netherlands, and so on. So I think this call on stopping extradition to China, I think it is following Canada's move to, I think, temporarily stop extradition requests from China.
Yeah. I see. Okay. A bit of a follow-up there. I want to go back to this weekend. It was something I was following quite closely. On Saturday, in fact, the United States sent two aircraft carriers to the disputed South China Sea waters. They were there for military exercises. Then you've got Chinese state media reporting that Beijing stands ready to counter the challenge posed by Washington. The two powers, of course, they face off by holding coinciding military drills in the same region. I mean, what are the odds that these drills could lead to real conflict? Or, you know, is it still a case of flexing your military muscle in that sense? What's the sense you're getting here?
Yeah, I think it's more like flexing their respective military muscles. It is not new that the United States has a large, primarily naval presence in South China Sea, but with two carrier groups. The United States has only like 10 active aircraft carriers, two of which were in South China Sea to have some sort of military drills. And China simultaneously also holding their military exercise. But I think because they are nuclear powers, it's very unlikely that they are going to escalate their confrontation into, like, you know, real war and things like that. Of course, there could be, you know, accidental skirmishes or clashes. So the surrounding countries of South China Sea, with their respective aligning themselves with one or both of these superpowers, they would just have to wait and see that. Yeah.
Hopefully everything remains largely peaceful. I've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, thank you so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe, okay?
No problem.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.